Welcome to installment 37 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. In today's portion, we will conclude our summary of the Rambam's text of the prayer service, Seder Tfilas Kol HaShana, and his conclusion of Sefer Ava, the second of the 14 books of his legal code. We will also learn the positive commandment number 154, the commandment to rest on Shabbos. And this is the final one of our installments dealing with the Rambam's text of the prayer services. The Rambam deals with two main points. Again, since it is impossible to read the entire portion within the context of such a lesson, we will merely summarize what the Rambam says, and the listener is requested to read inside, as much as possible, the Rambam's actual text. Some of it is available in English translation. The first part of the portion contains the Rambam's text of the Birchas HaMazon, the grace which is said after meals, after a meal in which bread was consumed. When we discuss this commandment regarding the grace after meals, we pointed out that there are four blessings, three of which have biblical origin, and one of which is rabbinic origin. The Rambam gives his text for all four blessings, which upon examination, one will see are radically different from that which we say today. Although the structure is basically the same, there are four blessings, and the main words of the blessings are the same, the length is quite different, especially the fourth blessing is quite a bit shorter in the Rambam's version than it is in all Siddurim and all texts of this grace that we have today. In addition, the Rambam mentions the portions of Haftorah, the Maftir, which is studied and read in the synagogue on Shabbos after the regular reading of the Torah. The Rambam first gives the text for the blessings said over the Haftorah on the Sabbath day, on Yom Tov, holidays, and when a Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos. He then lists which Haftorahs apply for which weeks in the majority of congregations for each Shabbos of the year. For Shabbos Bereishis, this Maftir, for Noach, this one, and so on, going through all of the portions to the end of the year. He gives a general rule that when two portions are read together from the Chumash in the Sefer Torah, then in general, the majority custom is to read the Haftorah, the portion from the prophets, which corresponds to the second one of the two portions. And so too, he points out that the majority custom is that in the 7 weeks after the ninth of Av, between the ninth of Av and Rosh Hashanah, there are 7 special Haftorahs said to correspond to our consolation after the destruction of the temple. And the Rambam lists them, that first of all there's Nachmu, Nachmu Ami, that Hashem tells us through the prophet that we will be comforted and consoled. And he goes on until it gets to the 7th one, Bashvis, on the 7th one of these following, the 9th of Av, says Osis Bashem, that we will rejoice in God. And with this he ends his text of the prayers, and in doing so the second of his 14 books, Sefer Ava. With today's portion we begin our discussion of the mitzvahs regarding Shabbos, the seventh day. The first is positive commandment number 154, the commandment to rest on Shabbos. As we learn in the Ten Commandments, Uvayim Hashvi Tishbeis, one has a positive commandment of resting on the seventh day. And this commandment, says the Rambam, is repeated many other places in the Torah that we have this positive requirement. There is a corresponding prohibition, a prohibition 320, not to work on Shabbos, as we will be discussing further on in the lessons regarding Shabbos. One who does any act which is prohibited on Shabbos is both violating the prohibition not to work on Shabbos and also nullifying this positive requirement to rest on Shabbos. What actually constitutes rest? In the Chumash, the mention of the prohibition of work on Shabbos is placed in proximity to the description of the construction of the tabernacle in the desert. In this way, the Torah tells us that those acts which were necessary to construct their tabernacle are forbidden to be done on Shabbos. There are 39 general categories of malacha, commonly translated as work, which we will be discussing more, God willing, in our prohibition number 320. However, needless to say, these have nothing to do with the English concept of what work is. A person might obviously consider to carry a piece of paper outside to not be an act of work, whereas carrying heavy furniture inside a house might well be. However, this has nothing to do with the concept of malacha, as described in the Torah. Only those things which were done in the construction of the tabernacle are considered malacha. Therefore, carrying from one domain to another is considered an act of work, whereas carrying something inside a house, although a heavy object, nevertheless would not be considered work. Although those acts which are considered work are strictly defined by Talmudic law, nevertheless they have been characterized by some commentaries as being creative activities, various things which either bring a new form into existence or change form in such a way that a new sort of thing is created. And this is consonant with the whole idea of resting on Shabbos, as the Chinuch explains that this idea of resting on Shabbos is to remind us and implant within us a firm faith in God's creation of the world. Since this is the foundation of all faith, how the world came into being, we concretely realize this in our daily lives by resting on Shabbos, that just as God created the world in 6 days, on the seventh day He rested, so to speak, by not creating anything new. So too, we refrain from creative activity also on the seventh day, both to commemorate that fact and be a witness to the world that God has created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, but so too to implant this feeling within us and to realize it, to make it part of our conscious awareness that God is in complete control of the world and its very existence is totally dependent on Him. The Chinuch also tells us that observance of the Shabbos is a reminder for the exodus from Egypt. And in Egypt, we were never allowed to rest. We were constantly forced to work for the Egyptians in building and other activities. Therefore, by resting on the Shabbos day, we commemorate that God has taken us out to freedom, that we are free to serve Him in the way He asks us, and free to refrain from work on one day of the week. The Rambam continues in Sefer HaMitzvahs to tell us that the obligation to rest is not only upon us, the Jewish people, but also on any slaves within our household, and even the animals in our household are required to rest, meaning they are not allowed to be worked, to plow and so forth, on the Sabbath. There's a famous story from the Psikta about Chosid Echad, a certain Chosid, a pious man who owned a cow, and this cow would plow and help him farm his field. And of course, on the Sabbath, he would rest. And the animal also rested and enjoyed this absence of work. However, this chassid became poor and was unable to maintain all of his belongings and had to sell the cow. This cow was sold to a Gentile farm owner who used the cow and took it to plow his field. And the cow, of course, performed very well until it came Shabbos. And it came the Shabbos day, and the cow lied down and refused to do any work. The Gentile owner beat the cow, encouraged the cow, tried to bribe the cow with food. But no matter what he would do, the cow refused to move. The buyer of the cow was in a rage and quickly called the Jewish seller and claimed a false sale. He said the cow has worked very well, but suddenly today he refuses to work anymore. He simply lies there. What kind of cow did you sell me? Upon hearing that the cow worked the other days, but on Shabbos refused to work, the previous owner immediately realized what happened. And he bent down and spoke softly in the cow's ear and explained to the cow that although you were able to rest on the Shabbos, that's because you belong to me. And since I could not work on Shabbos, you, being my animal, also could not work on Shabbos. But now I have sold you. You now belong to this non-Jew. And he doesn't have to rest on Shabbos. In fact, he is not allowed to rest on Shabbos. Therefore, you must work for him. You are no longer allowed to keep the Shabbos. The cow, upon hearing this, immediately stood up and was ready to work. The non-Jew was amazed at this transformation and accused the Jew. How did you do such a thing? What did you say? I suspect you of witchcraft, he said. How else could you suddenly get this cow to do such work? And the Jew explained what it is he told the cow, that the cow merely wanted to keep the Sabbath, as it was accustomed to doing. The non-Jew, upon hearing this, cried out and said, how could this be? This cow is unable to speak. It's unable to think. It has no realization of its creator. And even such a cow is so permeated with a sense of God's creation of the world that it refuses to work on the Sabbath. Look at me. I am a person. I can speak. I have understanding. And I was created in God's image. Even more so, I should recognize the sovereignty of God in the world and rest on the Shabbos. And this non-Jew began to study and eventually converted to Judaism. And he was known as Rabbi Yechonon ben Tursa. Rabbi Yechonon, literally the son of a cow. That since he came to Judaism through the example of this cow, he is called Ben Tursa. And it is said that many statements in the Torah are attributed to this Rabbi Yechonon ben Tursa, who later became a great sage. One of the prohibitions on Shabbos is that of borer, or separating, which means taking something bad, something undesirable, out of something good or desirable. So a piece of something has fallen in the food and you wish to remove it. On Shabbos, this is prohibited. You must rather take the part which you want and leave the undesirable part there. Hasidic philosophy explains that this prohibition against separating explains and indicates part of the general idea of Shabbos. Borer, or separation, is explained in Chassidus as corresponding to Avedis HaBirurim, weekday efforts to purify the physical world and elevate it through using all physical objects for the sake of service of God. That when we come in contact with food, and here we're speaking about kosher food, certainly we are eating kosher food, but we have the possibility of using this power and strength which the food gives us and utilizing it for whatever purpose we want. We could use it for good, for doing mitzvahs, and have greater knowledge of Hashem and so on, or God forbid, we could use it for the opposite. We must therefore say a blessing before eating the food, and have in mind that we're eating it for the sake of serving God. In this way, we do beter. We separate, so to speak, the good from the bad and elevate it to holiness. On Shabbos, however, borer is prohibited. One does not do the separation. Of course, one still must eat with a blessing, and one still uses the power of the food to serve God. But we do not have to stress so much here negating this, the opposite possibility, that the eating itself on Shabbos becomes a mitzvah. The eating itself is a commandment. One is doing good merely by eating, by enriching one's enjoyment of the Shabbos, and thereby adding to its holiness. Therefore, on Shabbos, one does not do beter, one does not do separation or purification, since the service of God on the Sabbath is through adding on in holiness, not so much separating and distinguishing between this which is holy and this which is not, but on Shabbos we are on a higher level and this is unnecessary. We do not have to negate the bad, but we rather add on in the good side, in positive action in holiness, in additional prayer and additional Torah study, utilizing the additional spiritual power we are given with the extra soul that every Jew is given on Shabbos, and the additional holiness which penetrates the entire world, the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom, as the entire world comes on a more elevated and more openly holy level on Shabbos.